Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Well, this morning I wanted to preach on Thanksgiving and celebration. And Pastor Susan talked a little bit about Thanksgiving, just now in her offering message, that we need to not just be grateful, but we need to be thankful. Gratefulness is an attitude, but being thankful is an action. And so it's not just being, I'm grateful, God's blessed me. What do? I put an action, and it comes through our giving, it comes through our words, it comes through every area of our life. But these things go together. If I would say, being husband and wife, it's Thanksgiving or being thankful and celebration, or the ability to celebrate. Because when you're thankful, what happens? Come on, it puts that spirit of celebration on the inside. So you guys got to help me preach this morning. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? And the first weekend after Thanksgiving is always a little bit difficult because we all have turkey hangover, all right? And guys, put up their slide. I was looking at some funny pictures of hangover. And come on, as I'm looking out at some of you this morning, I see you there. And come on, we kind of have that kind of thing. I know there are those that are watching online this morning. You're saying, yeah, that's me. I didn't get out of bed. You can still get here by 11 o'clock, amen? But, at the end, it's like we feel a little bit tired. I don't know what it is. There's even a chemical they say that's in turkey, tryptophan, that makes you want to sleep and all that. But come on, shake it off. Amen. Don't have a hangover this morning. Don't be, in just the celebration mood where you're just full of time. Get out there and exercise. Come on, get back to the gym. Get back into your prayer life. It's great to take a break. It's great to celebrate. But come on, don't lose focus. Amen. Enjoy it. And then get back into what God has for us this morning. And everybody said, amen. So this morning, I want to talk about Thanksgiving and celebration. And if we would begin to put these things into practice, being thankful, coming to a place where that thankfulness begins to put us into a place and an attitude of celebration, our whole world would change. Yeah. Our relationship with God would come to another level. Our relationship with people would come to another level. Our marriage would come to another level. Our relationship with our kids would come to another level because we've got to be thankful. If we are thankful and we do this on a daily basis and we celebrate, it will revolutionize the way that we live. And there's so many people out there, they're so negative, they're not thankful, they're ungrateful for the job they have, they're ungrateful for the finances they have, and they're never satisfied, they're always wanting more. Come on, we can be kind of entitled in our Christianity. And we're just forgetting his benefits. David said, forgetting on his benefits and what he's done for us. And what are we doing? We're just always thinking there's more and we're missing out. We're looking at everybody else around us and some people have more, but we don't look at those that have less. And we become ungrateful. And the children of Israel, that way, they were ungrateful. Come on, they got out of Egypt. Come on, that's something to celebrate. And God's brought us out of Egypt. Come on, we once were lost, but now we're found. We once were slaves to sin, but come on, he set us free. Put a song in our heart, and Miriam began to sing with the tambourine and had a song. But then what happened? They forgot. And so easily we forget where we've come from. But we need to be reminded every day and make an attitude, put a posture in our heart to begin to celebrate. Amen? The ability to celebrate life. Celebrate God, celebrate family, celebrate. We live in Orange County, even though it rained the last 3 days. I thought it was kind of nice, people are complaining, oh, it's rainy. I'm like, you get rain 6 days a year. Come on. What are you complaining about? I mean, I have family back east, and it's snowing, and there's ice on the roads, and people are sliding all over. And I saw a Facebook post, and it says, we celebrate winter as we watch you on television, and that's what it is. We're here and we're in the sunshine and people are dealing with real winter, amen? But be grateful for the goodness of God. Be grateful. I came this morning, I was looking and, it's such a beautiful day. The sun was coming out and, the breaking of the clouds, a little bit cloudy, and I looked and I could see all the way to the mountains and the snow. Had snow on it. I'm like, that's beautiful. The hills around me were green and not brown. Look at all the things that we can celebrate. But we drive by right by and we forget, like I say, what we're paying for. Come on. Yeah. Well, people are leaving California. Well, there's still a lot coming. Trust me, I'm in doing real estate. Prices are going nowhere. You know? And we look and we complain, but what a beautiful place that we have to live in and to raise a family and to do life in. Thank God for the church that we have. I drove up this morning. What a beautiful building God has given us. I came and I had two smiling brothers, Marvin and Dwayne were there at the door smiling and both gave me a group hug. I had two guys hugging me at the same time. I felt the love this morning. Come on, we have a lot of things that we can be thankful for, a lot of things that we can be grateful for. So let's come to that attitude with thankfulness, because when you do that, what does it do? It puts a celebration in your heart. Yeah. Are you here? And we need to understand God is not a party pooper. Yeah. Have you ever met a party pooper?
Yes.
They don't want to go to the party. You drag them on to the party and then they just have a black face the whole time. They don't want to participate with the games. They don't want to dance. They don't want to do anything. They just want to sit in the corner and then everybody feels bad for them. Turn your neighbor and say, I have nobody like that in this church. Come on. Not true. But what? You're missing out on the fun. I don't know about you, but I'm the person, I'm a bit cautious as I get older. Come on, when I was young, I'm just like, woo, jump off the cliff and don't look for if there's water or not. You know, get some wisdom first. Look first. You know, be a little bit more calculative. Be a bit wiser, but still have fun. Don't be the person who's sitting on the side, you know, while other people are in the pool having a good time and you just dip your toe in. Come on, jump in. After you jump in, it's not so cold. Yeah. Right here. Be someone who likes to do new things, have new experiences. God put this on the inside of us. And that's why in City Harvest Church, our vision is we're raising up fervent disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and love life. Don't forget to love life. Celebrate life. Come on. You woke up this morning. Somebody died of a turkey coma and didn't wake up this morning. There's people and, you know, and those that work in the hospitals, holidays are the worst times. Hospitals are full of people. Emergency rooms are full of people. There was a very famous pastor who'd had a stroke over Thanksgiving. In the hospital, we're praying for him. Thank God we're healthy this morning. Thank God we're here. I might be moving a little bit slower this morning. Come on. But at least I'm showed up. At least I'm moving this morning. Are you here? We're not in a hospital bed. Come on, you can give the Lord a hand and praise him for that. Amen? But religion comes in. And what is a religion? Religion comes in. It gives us a posture that God is a thou shalt not God. Thou shalt not have fun. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. So anything that has celebration, anything that has life to it, religion hates it. Oh, you're being a bit too worldly. No, I'm having fun. Are you here? You can have clean fun. The devil isn't the one that has fun all the time. Come on. Come on. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Some of you are getting a revelation this morning. You're looking at me like, really? The Christian life is the most exciting life that we should live. The devil just tries to pervert and take what God has and tries to make, you know, gloss it up a little bit, but it's not the real thing. It's a counterfeit. It's empty. There's no life in it. So what you think you're having a good time and you wake up and can't get out of bed the next 2 days and feel worse. Wow. And you're dehydrated and you're hungover. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I remember some of those days. Come on. Come on. You wake up depressed. You wake up and you're in bondage. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't put bondages on us. He said, I came to set you free. I came to give you life more abundantly. Come on. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, give the Lord a shout this morning. Amen? When you get to heaven, it's going to be a nonstop celebration. Come on, you think, well, we have a lot of long services there. Let me tell you, that service in heaven never stops. You just come in and out of it. Are you here? There's worship always going on. The angels are always going on. Come on, somebody's always teaching. Somebody's always preaching. Somebody's always glorifying God. Are you here? And that's how we're created to glorify God. I said this last week. The Bible says, you know, if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. Come on, you're created to praise. You're created to worship. You're created to celebrate. Jesus didn't come to give us a lifeless and just put bondage on us and just, you can't do this, you can't have any fun, don't smile, don't have joy. Come on, that's religion. Get rid of religion. Puts a form of godliness where we're trying to be more spiritual than God is. Some people, they're so religious, they come up with commandments that aren't even in the Bible. They're trying to be more holy than God is. God created things and said it's good. and everything to them is bad. To the pure in heart, all things are pure. Come on. You come with a pure heart. You can enjoy life. And there's certain things, I'm not saying there's certain things you don't want to participate in because you don't need to. Many of you heard me tell this story, and I love a great Bible teacher, Marilyn Hickey. She was on an airplane. She's reading her Bible, and someone turned to her and said, "Are you a Christian?" She's like, "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian." "Oh." She said, "Well, why do you say that?" She said, "Oh, Christians, all they are is they have all these rules and laws and all these things, and you know they don't get to enjoy life." She said, "What do you talk? Why do you say that?" She said, "Well, Christians can't drink." She said, "Oh, yes, we can." He said, "Well, Christians can't smoke." I said, "Yes, we can." "Well, Christians, they can't be promiscuous and sleep around and enjoy." She said, "Oh, yes, we can." He looked at her and said, "I've never met a Christian like you." And she answered, she said, "We can, but we don't need to." Come on, we don't need to. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on, we don't need to drink something to wash away our emotions and give us a buzz and calm us down from anxiety. Come on, we can worship God. We can lift up hands. We can pray in the Spirit. Come on, we can draw upon the life of God. We can turn to those things. We're not deceived. We see the deceitfulness of sin and how it's fun for a moment. But then the next day, as we go in, the wages of sin brings death. And because we don't want death, we don't want to sin. Yeah. It's not that we're not tempted, but we know the end result of the temptation. It leads to destruction. Come on. And if I put my hand on the fire too many times and I got blisters, I learn I don't want to touch the fire anymore. Well, it looks so beautiful, but it hurts. Yeah. So I stay away. I look from a distance. Are you here? And that's maturity in the life of a Christian. What do we celebrate? We celebrate what we value. And what we're thankful for is what we value. What do we value? Well, people value sports. Come on, I know some of us were watching football this week. Some of us weren't excited because our team didn't do well. But what do? Lions, come on, we're celebrating. Come on, people are crazy over sports. You get the most conservative CPA and bring him to a football game. Come on, and he's shouting, he's going crazy. Everyone's like, "What?" Why? Because what we look at, what we celebrate, what we value, we celebrate what we're loyal to. Some of us celebrated Black Friday and got our Christmas shopping done and got some amazing sales. Was anybody else out there? Yeah, all right, come on, confess this morning. Nothing wrong with that. Even my girls, they're like, "Daddy, what you want for Christmas?" They're shopping at Christmas because they're like, "It's all 50% today. So you want something, you better tell me now because I'm getting the sale." My wife's raising them right. She has a black belt in shopping. Come on, but find a deal. Find a deal, come on. We don't pray retail. We got Jewish in us. Come on. We're going to get us a discount, you know, and Cyber Monday's coming up. Come on, and everything online, and I'm more of the cyber guy. I like to stay home in my own house and get it, and somebody delivers it within 2 days for free. Yeah. And I have to get involved. I drove by the mall. I was on my way out to Irvine, and malls are packed, and people. I went to Costco, and I had to pray in tongues in that parking lot, come on, to keep my sanity. People were swerving over two lanes, camping out. You couldn't even drive around them. I'm like, and when it rains in California, something happens to the drivers. I don't know what it is. It's a spirit that just comes over people. But celebrate that you can get something good. Celebrate the good things. Come on, celebrate God's blessing in your life. Celebrate that God gave you a parking lot. I don't know about you. Do you pray for parking lots? I pray when I'm like 5, 10 minutes away, I start, "Thank you, Lord, for a parking lot." And it works. Ask my wife. Someone pull out right in front of me. Works. Be thankful for that. Come on. Be thankful to be on time in the right place at the right time. There's so many things that we can be thankful for. We can celebrate, most importantly, who we value the most, which is God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, our Father, who has sacrificed so much for us. Amen? Now, studies have shown that people who express gratitude, who choose to celebrate the good, they increase their happiness levels, they lower their blood pressure, they get better quality sleep, they improve their relationships, and they have a positive impact, and it has a positive impact, excuse me, on their depression levels, and they're less affected by pain. Now, this is medical science right here. I don't know, but that's a good reason to celebrate right now. Come on. You can throw away your painkillers. Come on. You don't need to take sleep medicine. Just start thanking for things. God, I thank you for the heater that works when we're around. I thank you. I got a bed to sleep in. God, I thank you. Keep thinking. And what happens? Before long, you're not counting sheep. Come on. You're counting your blessings. Come on. And God gives his beloved sweet sleep. Give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Further studies went on to say that gratitude's positive effects are long-lasting. And there was a study done, I put up, of Canadian researchers that found that people who wrote thank you letters or performed good deeds over a six-week period were able to improve their mental health, decrease their bodily pain, and they feel more energetic and accomplish more daily tasks for up to 6 months. Come on, some of us need to be writing some thank you Christmas cards this year, amen? If you came to our Thanksgiving party, we had some thank you cards. And we all love it, we all appreciate it. Some people posting their thank you cards on social media. Go back and read them, come on. When we feel appreciated, it makes us feel good. Makes feel loved, but don't just be a taker. Come on, be a giver. Yes. Be thankful. Be grateful for those that are around you. When we begin to train ourselves, we begin to make it a lifestyle. It will transform our world. And all God's people said, yes. Amen. Now, why do we celebrate? Celebration connects us to what we celebrate. So when we celebrate God, we celebrate his goodness. It has the power to change the way we see things around us. I'll say that again. When we celebrate God, we celebrate his goodness. It has the power to change the way we see things around us. So celebration is a way that we engage in our actions and express that attitude of gratitude. Amen? It's how we begin to orientate ourselves. And how many know we need to retrain ourselves sometimes? Because we live in a very negative society. If you're around most people, they're negative. They complain about everything. They're complaining about the economy. They're complaining about, you know, the president. They're complaining about all over the place. People are complaining all the time. There's all these conspiracy theories. It's just never ending. Don't get caught up in the negativity. But because why do the news medias do that? Because bad news sells more than good news. Yeah. If I ask you, and most people are this way, do you want to hear the good news or do you want to hear the bad news? Yeah. Most of us will be like, give me the bad news first because I want the good news to kind of help lift it a little bit. Are you here? Oh, come on, don't look at me like that. Yeah. Well, we need to train ourselves because even the bad news when you're a Christian can be good news. Because the bad news, even though it talks about circumstances, we're not limited by the circumstances. When we're walking with God, come on, our God is greater than all the circumstances and the things that we're facing, amen? So we don't celebrate just when we feel like it. We make a decision to live a life of celebration because the power of celebration is most powerful when you feel less like doing it. In the moments you feel like least doing. When is praise the most important? When you don't feel like praising. Come on, when you got that check in the mail that you weren't expecting, you got that bonus, it's easy to celebrate. But when you didn't get it, are you gonna celebrate? When you didn't get what you are expecting, are you still willing to celebrate? That shows when we're living our life, and what I'm talking about, this is the supernatural Zoe life of God. It's not something that's just natural or just positive thinking. Are you here? And in Acts chapter 16, we see one of the greatest stories, greatest examples of two people who lived this way. Their names were Paul and Silas. And the Bible says when they appeared before the Roman soldiers and magistrates, the slave owners leveled accusations against them saying, "These Jews are troublemakers. They're throwing our city into confusion. They're pushing their Jewish religion down our throats. It's wrong, it's unlawful to promote their Jewish ways, for we are Romans living in the Roman colony." A great crowd gathered, and all these people joined in to come against them. And the Roman officials ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods and their bare backs. That's not a very exciting time. They probably weren't, "Celebrate good times. Come on, hit me again." No. That's probably not what they were thinking at that time. Now, after they're severely beaten, they're thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound in chains. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of that night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. In the midst of the most probably negative situation, and I've been to Jerusalem, I've been to these areas, and when you look, the prison wasn't like it was now. When you walk in, it's on one floor, and they have all the jail cells. They didn't have that. So what they had was they had deep caves that they went into. So here you are all beaten up, bruised, whipped, and they're bringing you and making you climb down into the darkest, deepest part of the cave, and they're chaining you up down there. Most of us would probably have had a different reaction, honestly speaking. I examine my heart too and say, well, how would I would probably have my first response? What would my first response be? And I think it's good to kind of do those things because you can make a decision to celebrate now versus when you're in the middle of a crisis. What's your posture going to be? How are you going to react if you happen to get a negative report from the doctor? Don't decide that when it happens. Decide it right now. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you building your faith now? Are you celebrating now? Are you building your life around eternity? And during this season, there's been people that I know and people I was close to and people I respected that passed away. Some of them passed away from disease. And, you know, as I look at that, sometimes we ask questions. Well, God, why didn't they get healed? Can we just be honest this morning? Why didn't God you turn things around? And when I spoke to my dad, and he's a very wise man, and he, many of you know, he had stage 4 cancer about 3 years ago. And God miraculously healed him. The doctor gave him a death sentence, 6 months, didn't tell us. And we prayed, we fasted, we had people all the world praying for him. And he went back, he was on chemo, his hair didn't fall out, had no negative reactions. And when he went back to the doctor looked at the report and said, this is a miracle. I've not seen someone. Oh, come on, give the Lord a big hand. Amen. And we did the same thing. We celebrated. We shouted. You know, I said, God, I can't take anymore. Come on. You got to heal my dad. And we prayed for him, and God was there. And I rejoiced that. But when I had a talk with him, I said, Dad, how was that journey? Because he didn't want to tell us, you know. He's a military old guy, you know, and didn't want to make us worry, didn't want to make us feel bad, so he kept things to himself. And I said, Dad, how did you walk in that knowing this? What was your response? And he said, you know, Derek, he said, I'm at peace with God. He said, whether I get healed in this life or whether I die and I go to heaven and get healed, I'm still with God. If my time's up and this is how I go out, I'm going to go out being thankful. And I'm going to step into the next life, and I'm going to be healed. So you either get healed in this life, or you get healed in the next one. But Jesus paid the price for our healing. And I was blown away. I'm the preacher. Come on. And it was such revelation and such conviction. And what it spoke to me was, you know, when you really build your life around God, and you really live with eternity in your heart, this world doesn't matter. Now, of course, we want to be around as long as we can and serve God, and I want to be healthy, and I want to be like one of those preachers who preached his last sermon and went home and sat in his lazy boy chair and just slept and went to heaven. I mean, that's how I want to go out, amen, the Lord willing. But what if it doesn't work that way? And so many people are so afraid of death. But really, death is not negative. Death is a positive. Death is the last enemy to be defeated is death. All of us, it's appointed to man once to die. You're going to die. Yeah. And let's live healthy. I believe in divine healing, but all of us are going to die one time. Yeah. You know, if I'm 88, 90 years old, 93 years old, I'm going to heaven. Come on. If my knees aren't working so well, I'm ready to go. I want to live a quality life. Are you here? Yeah. Now, that's my conviction. Yeah. You know, but. As we're really believers, we live our life around Christ. Death is a celebration because the Bible doesn't say death is the end. The Bible calls it going to sleep. Yeah. You fall asleep, you close your eyes here, and you wake up, and you now don't have sickness. Now you don't have a feeble body. Now you're on a glorified body. You're with Christ. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no suffering. And let me tell you, there's a celebration going on all the time. All the time. That's our faith. And yes, we grieve. Yes, we miss those. But it's our loss, not their loss. Our loss is their gain. And that's what the Bible says. We don't mourn like those who are outside of Christ because we have good news. Are you here? And I'm not promoting, I'm not saying we need to be negative. No, let's live in healing. Jesus bore his sickness on his body on the cross. And you know, we can walk in divine healing. The devil's not going to put anything on me. I'm going to have my faith now. If there's a fight, I know how to fight. Are you here? But regardless of my time's up. And some people, I think they get a glimpse of glory, and they just don't want to fight anymore. Because you're fighting and you're fighting, and then you see Jesus and his love and his face, and you see a place of perfect peace and love where there's no sickness, no disease, no anxiety, all those things. And what happens? You kind of look here and look there. What am I waiting for? Let's just go home. Are you here? And we need to have those thoughts. We need to, you know, in financial planning and family planning, people put up their, you know, their wills, and they get things in order. Sometimes the church says, oh, that's not faith. You shouldn't do those things. If you do that, you're going to bring negativity to you. No, start thinking now. Start planning now. Are you here? Start planning about how you want your life to be, how you want to go out. Are you here? My wife and I, we had a conversation about that, and we're years away from that. But I want to know, like, if something did happen, what do you want? If something didn't happen, what do I want? Are you here? And in the end, you know, we're kind of on the same page in that. I'm not going to share with you. That's our business. But that's not a negative thing. That's being responsible. Plan and settle things in your heart. So it doesn't have to be a time of anxiety. Are you here? And we all, as we get older, as we deal with family, we have to deal with those things and not make them taboo things, but look at them through the lens of the Word of God in our faith. Amen? So in the midst of that negativity, verse 26, it says, as they were praising, as they're worshiping God, as they're praying in the middle of the night. Come on, I don't know about you, but I would have probably said, I just want to go to sleep and pray this all goes away. Anyone else like that? Let's just sleep and hope it gets better when we wake up. But what do they do? Suddenly, in the midst of their prayer, in the midst of their worship, in the midst of their celebration, a great earthquake shook the foundation of the prison, and all at once the prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. Because of their celebration, because of their goodness, in the midst of persecution in Macedonia, come on, they lived out of the life of God. They lived knowing greater is he that is in me. They lived, come on, dancing to a different beat. They were playing negative music there. Have you noticed music? It influences us. Some of us, we like to listen to depressing music. I've had people in my car and they're turning, I'm like, turn that stuff off, it's depressing. Start listening to it long enough, it starts getting in your soul. I'm like, I work hard enough to stay free and stay happy. Don't be putting that stuff on me. Are you here? Watch what you listen to. Watch what you put around you. Here, you watch a movie. If you turn the sound off, it's probably not scary. But you have da 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 da. It's the music. Watch what you listen to. Music sets the atmosphere. I like to listen to different music, but I listen to happy music. I don't listen to depressing music. All is gone. He left me for another woman. Turn that stuff off. Well, she's got a great voice. Who cares? You're putting that stuff in your heart. You're programming. The more we're having a problem in your marriage, you keep looking. He's going to leave me because all you've been listening to is how he left her. That's another sermon. Amen. If we're facing problems, what do? Intuitively, sometimes we feel God's forsaken us. God left us. We feel that God's not willing to help us. Are you here? Because flawed theology leads to flawed practice. If we have a wrong concept of God, if we have a wrong concept of suffering, and we dealt with that 2 weeks ago, we'll have a wrong concept of God. So when bad things happen, we think God's forsaken us. When bad things happen, we think that something's wrong, and it brings insecurity in our life. Are you here? Or sometimes our response is anger. God, your word says this, but why is this happening? God, your word says give and it will be given, and I've been given and it seems like everything's been taken away. Got real quiet here this morning. We've got to understand that God allows difficulties to come in our life. Are you here? Because in the midst of difficulties, God's plan can work concurrently alongside of our difficulties. Sometimes, if you notice, God likes to show off. Come on. Oh, come on. You like to show off too. You're a little kid. Mommy, mommy, look at me. Look at me. Daddy, daddy, look at me. Look at me. Whose image are we made in? God. So God will sometimes, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire is so hot. Come on, the people who put them in get burnt. And they don't. Think about the prophet Elijah calling fire down from heaven. Pour more water. All right, Lord, you ready? No, put more. More water. It's in the midst of a drought and you're pouring more water? It was more about that. That was the thing that they worshiped, was water. Keep pouring, keep pouring. Build the trench deeper. Keep pouring, keep pouring. The breast of the Baal, they cut themselves. They did all their frenzy and nothing happened. And now you have an impossible situation with the most precious commodity poured on the ground. And he calls down fire and he laps up all the fire till there's nothing left. Wow. And God says, you think there's another God besides me? Come on. Oh, come on. That's our God. But read the Bible. Yeah. Read the Bible. Why did God do certain things? It's just so he gets all the glory. So we need to understand in the midst of our negative, it's a setup for a testimony. Yes. It's a setup for God's strength and his goodness to be shown in our lives. It can be painful sometimes, but if we have a wrong theology, then we're going to think something's wrong. We need to understand. It doesn't, our square, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by what's going on around us. Come on, we walk according to the Spirit. We live according to the Spirit. We walk according to his word. And it might be in a contradiction for a season, but guess what? God's word will come to pass. God will perform. Come on, what he said in our lives. You believe that? Give the Lord a big hand. Amen? Paul and Silas are in a bad situation, not because they did anything wrong, but they were being obedient. They were preaching. They went exactly to where God told them to do. They were obeying God. But it was an opportunity for them to either give in to their circumstances, give in to their emotions, give in to their stinking thinking, and we all have it. That's why the Bible says renew your mind, put on Christ. Why? Because it's a daily affair. It's something we got to do as a lifestyle. We got to put on Thanksgiving as a lifestyle. Because there are things that are negative in this world that we live in. We got to make a decision to celebrate even in the midst of negative circumstances. Four keys about Thanksgiving and celebration we can see from this story. Number one, Thanksgiving and celebration must be a habit. Someone say a habit. You got to start celebrating when it's easy to celebrate. You got to start being thankful in the good times. You got to start making it a lifestyle. And that's why I talk about planning ahead. What does the Bible say? In all things, give thanks. At all times, give thanks. So we got to remind ourselves every day, make a habit to thank him. Put a trigger in your life. Every day when I do this thing, I'm going to be thankful. You know what it is for me? Every time I eat. Every time I have a cup of coffee. And I have at least two a day. Come on. So that's five times a day usually I'm thanking God. Be thankful. Some people sit down and in our home, we're like, you don't eat before you give thanks. People say, well, it's the blessing. They used to pray because they had to have faith. Father, kill anything in Jesus' name. Kora. You had a prayer meeting before you ate it to make sure because you don't know what you're eating. No deadly thing, will come upon me. Amen. In fact, it won't kill. And you're praying because you're in the mission field somewhere and you don't know what you're eating. Right. We don't have to do that in America, thankfully. Amen. Are you here? But what does it speak of? Thank God. Thank you, God, for your blessing. Thank you for the family around this table. Thank you for the car that got me to the restaurant. Yeah. Thank you that I got seated and it's comfortable and I'm not sitting on the floor. Come on, give thanks. Take those times to give thanks and set a trigger, something you do every day in your life where you make a point to be thankful. Make a point to get your posture right. And that's why I have coffee first thing in the morning. Come on. Because I set my posture right. And I can give thanks. I don't need a lot of things. Come on, I just need the Holy Spirit. I need the presence of God and my coffee. And I can do a lot of things for Jesus. Are you here? Amen? I'm joking, but have your habit. Amen? Paul and Silas had a choice to either declare their trust in God, or they could have gotten angry, they could have got frustrated, they could have reacted negatively. But they lifted their voices to God, and they began to praise Him, and they began to thank Him, because they knew God was greater. They knew God is the God of the turnaround. And in the midst of that, what happened? The chains were shaken, not only for them, but for those around them. Deliverance didn't just come to their lives. It came to those that were all around them. All the chains fell off. And come on, that's what God's doing. He's working in your life. Because when you celebrate, when you have a breakthrough, it's not just for you. It's for the rest of your family. Come on. You're breaking the generational curse. It's not just for you. Come on, it's for your office. It's for your school. Come on. It's for the extended people that you influence. It's for your connect group. You're breaking through for other people. Are you here? Amen? Because when you have that kind of posture, people see it, they hear it, and they see God. Because that's not the natural response. That's an unnatural response. Amen? Number two, thanksgiving and celebration gives us God's perspective. When we start praising, when we start being thankful, when we start celebrating, what does it mean when you celebrate? Come on, I don't think they were just sitting there. They were probably rattling the chains. Come on. They didn't have a tambourine, but they had some chains. I'm going to praise His name. You know, making some noise. It was an expression that they had. And what was it doing? It was getting their mind off the problems. The Bible says, lift up your eyes above the problems. Put your eyes on God. Set your affection on the things above. The problem with many believers and unbelievers is we have the wrong perspective. We have the wrong perspective of who God is. Is He a loving Father? Are we sons and daughters, or are we slaves? Is He a hard taskmaster who it's never good enough? Because that's how our natural dad was. We have wrong perspectives of God. We think God enjoys it when we suffer. I'm just suffering for Jesus, as if that's what He wants for us. Some Christians even say, oh, God's trying to teach me something, so He gave me cancer. God's trying to teach me something, so He gave me this disease. What's He trying to teach you? I know a lot of people died of disease, and they didn't learn nothing. They get to heaven, and they're like, Jesus, what was the thing you're trying to teach me? Jesus said, that wasn't me. They had the wrong perspective. Come on, get God's perspective through His word. Get the right perspective now so that when you face a circumstance, you have faith. You have the right posture. You can give thanks. Come on, and I'm preaching to myself. There's certain things that used to bother me. They don't bother me now. But there's certain things now that bother me that, come on, as I keep journeying with Christ, they're not going to bother me anymore because I'm getting a different perspective. Yeah. Number three, thanksgiving and celebration, it allows God to work. It creates an atmosphere for the supernatural. Thanksgiving always precedes the miracle. Praise, worship precedes the miracle. I've been to many miracle services, and you know, I went to one, you know, many of you would know Benny Hinn, and I was there in his meetings and saw miracles. No matter what you want to say, I was there. Saw eardrums filling a boy's ear right with my eyes from the distance of me and Adam. Saw people getting out of a wheelchair. Saw people after we sang hallelujah for 1 hour. After we got our eyes on Jesus, nobody touched these people. Nobody laid hands on them, but Jesus walked into the room. And when He walks into the room, everything changes, and He starts touching people and start healing people. And they got up to testify. All they did on the pulpit was lead worship. Sing hallelujah, take it higher, bring it lower, hallelujah. I'm thinking, what are we doing? And when my mind stopped thinking what we're doing and I started getting my heart into the words, the glory of God fell. Yes. Come on, we've got to get into that place of celebration. It allows God to work. Amen? You might not be in a physical prison this morning, but maybe you're in a prison in your life and you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with fear, you're struggling with your sin, you're struggling with hopelessness, you're struggling with doubt. I don't know what it is. Maybe you say, well, you know, I'm one person in church, and I'm one person at school, I'm one person at church, I'm one person at home. And we struggle with all these things. Get into that place of celebration. Get in that place of worship. Get in that place of the presence of God and position yourself for a breakthrough. Come on. Position yourself for a miracle. Because when you get into that place, what happens? You're connecting with God. You're making room for God like we did this morning. And what happens? You're allowing God to come into those areas that maybe he hasn't had access to. And healing comes and restoration comes and freedom comes. Come on. And I can say I once was bound, but come on, now I'm free. And come on, chains are falling off us as we begin to worship God. If you believe that, give the Lord a big hand this morning. Amen. Celebration breaks whatever's holding us captive. What's holding you captive? Come on, if you start dancing, if you start celebrating, if you start getting into it, well, I don't feel like it. Well, you do it without a feeling first. Come on, I know some of you, you're not the dancer. You go out and people are dancing, and you're the one, you know, you sat out the side at prom. But come on, when someone pulls you out and you start getting into it, what happens? Something comes loose. Come on, you start getting something in your bones. Oh, come on, don't look at me with those religious looks this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know what he's talking about. Come on, even if you got two left feet, those two left feet start moving. You start having fun. But you got to participate. Some of us, we don't feel like coming in here and praising God this morning. Come on, you don't believe me? I just asked Stephen and Faith, who are out there looking at all of you. Come on, they can tell. Are you here? Nah, you guys were awesome this morning. But sometimes we come and we don't feel that. But what do we do when we start doing it, when we start singing, when we say, this is the day the Lord has made, I make a choice to celebrate, God is still good, come on, all the time he's good, it doesn't matter what's happening, and we get in that, we take off the garment of heaviness, and we put on the garment of praise, yes. And something begins to change, life begins to come, as we worship God, and we might not feel holy, but the Bible says, lift up holy hands, and we're holy because of the blood of Jesus. Come on, his presence begins to come. And what happens? Things get broken off our life. That's why it's so important to be connected. Because when we're in an atmosphere, it's much easier in a positive, faith-filled atmosphere to get into the river than we're on our own. Are you here? Celebration breaks the power of whatever's holding us back. Why? Because we take our focus off of us and on God, off of ourselves, off of our problems. And on the greatness of our God. And in the midst of that, come on, our eyes are off the circumstances, and our circumstances that seem so big become so small when we look at the greatness and the bigness of our God. Are you here? Amen? Number four, finally, Thanksgiving is celebration. It brings God's presence. It brings God's presence or God's glory to us. Paul and Silas knew how to celebrate. They knew how to get into the presence of God, not because they had just been to a conference, not because they just heard a sermon like this morning, amen, but because they practice it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to practice it. You got to practice it. Again, make it a lifestyle. They knew how to get into the presence of God rather than getting upset and hardening their heart and putting a wall against God. Come on, they began to celebrate because it was their lifestyle. Doesn't matter what situation they are in, I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to do the best I can, even though I'm in chains. And what happened? The presence of God began to come. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, there's life. In his presence, there's strength. In his presence, dreams and visions begin to come of the future, not of the situation that we're in. In Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul said this, rejoice in the Lord always. Talked about this last week. And again, I say, rejoice, in case you didn't get it the first time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, always. Again, I'm telling you, rejoice. Have that kind of posture, because sometimes we don't get it the first time.
Well, I don't feel like it, Pastor.
It doesn't matter what you feel like. Come on. Most of us, when that alarm clock goes off, we don't feel like getting up. I didn't this morning. Are you here? But I make a decision. I put one foot in front of the other foot and get out of that bed. Are you here? Yeah. Put water on my face and begin to encourage myself. Turn on some worship music this morning. Turn on some praise work this morning and get myself acclimated so I'm ready. Get myself in the presence of God so that there's a flow of God. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10 says, Paul says, "It's sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." Huh? That's a contradiction. Even in the midst of your sorrow, even in the midst of negativity, always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. Even in the midst of my lack, I'm teaching other people how to prosper. Because I know God's not going to forget about me as I'm building his health, as I'm being a blessing to others. Come on, the river of blessing will flow in my life. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. One is a circumstance. The other is his position in Christ, his position in the kingdom. And he was more focused on that. He was more focused on eternity in his heart. He was more focused on the kingdom of God and his position than what was happening in the natural. And come on, that's the secret to success. Are you here this morning? The power of celebration is that it places us in the presence where God can begin to transform us. And I love that picture, where that which looks unfruitful, really it's fruitful. And when you live in the presence long enough, when you proclaim the presence of God, what does it do? It aligns us to God's perspective. And what happens? God begins to bring the supernatural into the natural. And we begin to see the hand of God moving in our situation. But it's founded on our ability to celebrate. I like the musicians to come. Did you learn something this morning? Psalms 23 verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Look at the position. I'm here in the midst of my enemies. But he doesn't stop there. He's like Paul and Silas in the prison. He's like the Apostle Paul in Corinthians. What is he saying? In the midst of my enemies. What do? You prepare a table before me. God knows exactly what you are dealing with today, what you're facing. Maybe it's issues with your health. Maybe it's issues with your family. Maybe it's a concern for a loved one. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's self-doubt. You're feeling lonely. I don't know what it is, but God knows what you're going through. And let me tell you, all of us are going through stuff. It's called life. But there's a powerful thing in the midst of what we're going through, in the midst of what we're facing. God prepares a table for us. Understand something, and I put this up for you. He doesn't chase your enemies away. He prepares the feast right in front of them. In the midst of a difficult situation, in the midst of your enemies around, you can sit at a table with God and you can celebrate his goodness and his faithfulness. He puts a table and your enemies sit around and watch the goodness of God and watch the posture in your life. I used to read that to think he puts a table and we're gonna sit down and eat with our enemies. That's not what he's saying. He puts a table before us in the midst of our enemies, and God communes with us. The table speaks of fellowship. The table feels of a strength. When we eat, food brings strength to us. In the midst of the negative circumstance, in the midst of our enemies, God is there in the midst of us, and he provides for us in the midst of our enemies. He cares for us in the midst of our enemies. Come on. He's not distant in our hour of need. Even when we say, "God, where are you?" In the dark prison, that's probably how Paul and Silas felt. But God was there, and all of a sudden, they set the posture for the miraculous. The presence of God came. But why? Because they had a habit. Why? Because they lived with God's perspective. And they set themselves up for a miracle. They set themselves up for the presence of God. And let me tell you, the pattern that's given in the Word of God, it still works today. But what do we got to do? We got to make a habit. So I'm going to celebrate. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. Well, I'm feeling a little depressed. I'm feeling a little bit low. Shake that off. Sometimes you got a picture in your mind. Get up and I'm just getting off that heaviness. I'm putting on praise. Imagine yourself putting on a praise outfit. Come on. Yours might have some sequins in it. I don't know. Doesn't matter. You know, I look at it as like a nice fur coat. Put my glam on. Come on, I'm going to go like, you know, one of those 60s rockers with the glasses and the big jacket. I'm going to praise God this morning. I don't know about what your looks like. Visualize it. Put on the garment of praise and lift off the spirit of heaven and get in the place of celebration. Begin to thank God for getting on his benefits. Come on, we are blessed. We're empowered to prosper. Come on and watch what God would do. So as we celebrate Thanksgiving, as we come in this time of so many celebrations, don't forget what celebration is all about. Don't get worn out by this celebration. Come on, celebrate God daily in your life and see His life coming into your life. Come on, I want you to stand on your feet. Hallelujah.